In today's gospel reading, we heard that a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. We might imagine this lawyer as one of a crowd of people gathered and jostling around Jesus. To locate us in the larger story, the 70 recently sent out have just returned, and they're filled with joyful energy. We might imagine them bursting with enthusiasm and excitement, wanting to share their news with Jesus and those around them. Lord, they say, in your name, even the demons submit to us. I imagine the astonishment, the celebration in some, the curiosity of others. And in some of those people present, a building resentment, perhaps, at all the fuss and the rising celebrity of Jesus, which might come to eclipse their own positions, their own status within the community. In the meantime, Jesus, responding to his friend's joy, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit, begins then to thank and praise God for all that's been revealed through him. He says right before today's gospel reading, no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus speaks these words amidst the crowd, and then the lawyer that we hear about today, possibly needled by Jesus' self-assuredness and popularity, possibly looking for a way to undermine Jesus in front of the gathered and energized crowd, bring him down a peg or two, the lawyer stands up to test Jesus in a very public way. After a brief back and forth, Jesus and the lawyer are in accord. They agree on the core and central belief that love of God and love of neighbor is the way to eternal life. But not willing to abandon his chance to catch Jesus out, possibly score a point or two with the crowd, the lawyer follows up with a final question. He asks, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus, as we just heard, brilliantly answers this question with a story. The parable Jesus shares centers on a key theological tenet: mercy. At the end of the parable, when the lawyer identifies the Samaritan as the one who was a neighbor to the beaten traveler, describing him as the one who showed him mercy, Jesus super simply and definitively puts an end to the lawyer's posturing, his testing. Jesus says to him, "Go and do likewise." Jesus tells the lawyer to go and show mercy. Had the lawyer appreciated the importance and centrality of mercy and its very necessary role in our ability to rightly love our neighbor, well, maybe he might not have engaged Jesus in quite the way he did. Mercy. It's a remarkably common word in the Bible, and this offers some indication of its theological significance. Translations do differ, but more or less, the Hebrew scriptures mention mercy close to 300 times. And in the New Testament, the word appears about 50 times. Mercy. The dictionary definition of mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Our gospel reading today seems to suggest the lawyer, with his very public tactic of testing Jesus, may have been a little short on mercy. And by using this parable, Jesus was able to bring the lawyer to name mercy as a core tenet, whilst also reinforcing the wider application of mercy and its absolute importance. To anyone living intentionally in community and in covenantal relationship with God. In the Hebrew scriptures, the source scriptures for both the lawyer and for Jesus, the Hebrew word most frequently translated into English as mercy is chesed. Chesed has a far fuller and more expansive definition than the one found for mercy in the English dictionary. In fact, chesed is one of the most important words in the lexicon of the Hebrew scriptures. Chesed is considered to be the word on which the theology of the Hebrew scriptures is built. Chesed, mercy. Chesed as mercy is understood as loving kindness, its steadfast love, its grace, its faithfulness, loyalty, its devotion. When translated as mercy, all of these things are behind that one word. And all of them really are needed to understand the richness and the fullness of mercy. Of chesed. Chesed points to a personal involvement and a commitment to relationship beyond the rule of law. It evokes covenant, reciprocity, relationship. Chesed is used extensively throughout the Psalms. Familiarly, I'm sure, in the repeating line of Psalm 136, His mercy endures forever. It is the word used in Hosea, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, says the Lord, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Also in the book of the prophet Micah, where we are told what the Lord requires of us, that we are to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Creation itself is said to be the result of God's chesed. Mercy, here chesed, is an entire theological concept, and it's one that Jesus would have been fundamentally formed by and would have taught himself. Mercy is also the English translation for the Hebrew word racham. This kind of mercy is visceral. Racham shares its root with womb and bowels. This is the mercy experienced as a form of compassion. It's the kind of powerfully embodied response we might experience when confronted by the suffering of those who are close to us or of those who are in obvious need. Racham is often used by the prophet Isaiah. It describes a mercy that flows from witnessing and feeling deeply the suffering of another. And it's the Greek equivalent of this word of racham, this form of mercy, that moved the Samaritan to step in and help the way they did. Our translation gives us the word pity. Other translations use compassion, but the Greek word used in the New Testament text is the equivalent of racham. A Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity, with racham. The literal translation of the Greek word here is to have the bowels yearn. This is deep emotion. This is the embodied word Jesus uses in the telling of the parable. When Jesus asks the lawyer which of the three characters in the parable are neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers, the lawyer says, the one who showed mercy. And the lawyer uses here the Greek word that evokes mercy as an aspect of relationship. On seeing one in need, the other responds to alleviate that need or suffering. Mercy here is a binding, connecting force, a reality of being in relationship, in community, of taking care of one another. It's the role of mercy in our love for one another, I believe, that's the primary teaching of today's gospel reading. If we are truly to love our neighbor, if our love is to magnify the merciful love of God in this world, then our love must also be infused with mercy, with chesed, with racham. This is the theological bedrock of the Hebrew scriptures. In the post-Enlightenment cultural space that we all share, the concept of mercy has been somewhat banished. This deep instinct of the human person that is so key in maintaining mutually life-giving relationships with one another and with God has been replaced by a rational self-sufficiency, indicative of the individualism that is so dominant today. The word mercy can feel anachronistic to our ears and lacking in relevance. But mercy is abundant in our Bibles and in our prayer book. And given its theological importance, mercy warrants renewed attention. Mercy calls to be understood and appreciated anew, to be cultivated. Love and justice depend on mercy to be complete, to be life-giving. And so in order to rightly love our neighbor, and especially in order to love our enemies, as Jesus calls us to do, we must embrace our capacity for mercy, ignite our instinct for mercy in all its various forms. As we pray for God's mercy in our own lives, may we remember too that we are called to love one another as God loves us, with mercy.